here's my thing about Pentecost. I think Pentecost should be celebrated as much as Easter and as much as Christmas. It's a huge big deal. If you think about it, you have Christmas, which is Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. You got Easter, the celebration that God died for us and we have life in him. Then we have Pentecost, where we have God in us. I mean, that's huge. To say this is a day that we celebrate, we give thanks for, to say that God gave himself into us through the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus himself said to his followers, it is good for you that I'm going to be going. Now, that would have been crazy for them to hear right at that time, because they loved Jesus. They were seeing these miracles. They were safe. I mean, they would climb, you know, he would see him walking on water, and Peter could stand out on water. And even though he went down, Jesus was right there to pick him right back up. So for Jesus to say, it's good that I'm going to be going, because you will receive the Comforter. You will receive the Holy Spirit. So the fact that Jesus says this is a good thing makes us want to take account of this. And I love Pentecost because it's not got any of the fluff. We don't have any distractions with gifts and cards, which I often forget, and someone gets upset, you get the wrong stuff. This one, it's all good. We're just giving thanks to God. So Pentecost is a good one in my account. But with Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit, we're not always sure what to do with it. This is a free gift given to us. If we read in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, we have received God's Spirit. It's a gift. We've received this gift, not the world's Spirit, but God's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. The Holy Spirit in us is so that we can freely, this gift, know how great, how good, how precious God is and what he has given us. The Holy Spirit is to point and to direct all things to the Heavenly Father, to point to see what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his Son. The Holy Spirit is that beam of light working in us to show that God's not dead. That's a pretty awesome role. If you continue through in 1 Corinthians 2, towards the end, verse 16, Paul also says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit in us is giving us the mind of Christ. Now the mind of Christ, if you didn't know, is not of lust, is not of bitterness, is not of anger or malice or deceitfulness. No, it's of compassion. It's of love. It's of peace. It's of forgiveness. It's of mercy. This is the mind of Christ. And God's saying, it's in you. You can receive this free gift. That's a pretty awesome gift. If you've ever struggled with anger and bitterness or lust or whatever it might be, to know that actually, through Christ, through that victory, through this gift that God has given us, we have him in us, which gives us the mind, which is purity. But we still are quite often unsure of what we do with the Holy Spirit. You see, we say we believe in the Trinity. We say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We can say it. We say, I believe in the Trinity. But too often what we do is we focus on the past. You see, it's easy to go, I believe in God the Father and the Creator. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for the gift of life, beautiful life. We thank you, Father God, for that. We thank you, God, for sending Jesus, our Savior, who died for us over 2,000 years ago. We sit, and it's almost easier to go, we're looking at the past, and we're thankful for what he has done, and rightfully so. But then also what we do is then we skip forward and go, well, we thank you for the past because now we have a future in you. And so we say we look forward to eternity and life with you, which is great. And that's what we celebrate today. We say, thank you, God, that Ken is with you. So both are right. But what we often do is forget and neglect the now. And that's why God gave us himself, the Holy Spirit, to deal with the now, the crumminess, the disappointments, the heartache, the pain, the discernment. That's why God didn't say, this is what I've done for you in the past, and I'll meet you on the other end. He said, actually, you're going to have me with you each and every step of the way. That's the great thing about Pentecost. And that's why we celebrate that today. And so what we're going to do for a few moments is look at the Pentecost account in Acts. To look at, okay, what actually occurred? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to jump back from Corinthians that I'm looking at there, now to Acts 2. Now, before we look at the story, to get a little recap, Jesus has died, he's ascended, resurrected, ascended, and now the believers are in this room, waiting. It's been a good few weeks since the resurrection. And they're waiting. People like Peter, who just a few weeks ago was denying Christ to his face. I mean, this guy was, yes, a great follower, but when it came to it, when death potentially faced him, he said, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. Three times, I don't know him. He's in this room with all these other people. This is what happens. On the day of Pentecost, this is chapter 2 of Acts, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames of tongue of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At the time, there was devout Jews everywhere from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our native languages. And then it lists out a bunch of languages that I would totally butcher, so I'm not. And so here we have these believers just waiting. First thing we note is it was loud. It was happening. It was to be noticed. It wasn't a subtle tingle. You know, Peter didn't just go, ooh, felt a little tingle there. And someone else said, ooh, that was interesting. It was God moment. Undeniable God moment. I mean, when God wants people to know something big is happening, he lets them know. I mean, if you think of creation, it was purposeful, beautifully created. But you know what? It may have made a loud noise. It may have had a big bang, but it certainly had purpose. They knew, well, Adam certainly did when he was alive, oh, wow, this is different. Jesus' birth, yes, lowly and humble, but not for the shepherds. When God wanted them to know about it, boy, did they know about it. With all those angels and the trumpets and all the rest of it, when God wanted a message, he let them know something big is happening. Here, they are waiting. This loud noise. Now, it's fairly difficult probably to describe what had happened, so fair enough, Luke's like, what was it like? It was like a tongue on fire. I mean, fair play. I mean, it would have just been incredible. hard to imagine, but just God making this place known is, I'm in you now. This is a big moment. This is the birth of the church. So it was known. No one can deny it. God has moved. And then this is the part that, okay, this is many Nazarenes freak out. But we're going to go there. So chillax. They started speaking in tongues. That's right, I mentioned it. Or other languages. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share this account, okay? There are other elements of speaking in tongues in other aspects of the New Testament. I'm looking here at the Pentecost. What happened, okay? So when they started speaking in tongues, it wasn't people didn't know what was going on or didn't understand it. It was actually the opposite. When they spoke in these different languages or tongues, the gospel became clear. It was the opposite of people going, whoa, what's happening over there? It was, oh my word, they are speaking my language. I can hear what he's saying. They're talking about this God in a language that I can understand. God was breaking down a language barrier right there for all to understand. I read a really cool article this week by a missionary, a Nazarene missionary, and it kind of caught me because it was called Nazarene Minister Experiences the Gift of Tongues. I thought, cool, let's read this and see what he's talking about. And so he used this account of Pentecost, and he, in a missionary trip, went out, and he said it was unbelievable. I went to a country that didn't speak the language, and the people there, they started praying for us. And he said, I understood them. He said, it was just the weirdest thing ever that they understood me and I understood them. And here, this is what's happening. The Holy Spirit came down and a miracle is happening. Language barriers have been pushed away and the gospel is freely going to these people. That's pretty awesome. I don't have that gifting, although it'd be pretty cool to, you know, to be able to understand languages. So, you know, if Pablo's talking about me, I'll be able to, I know what you're saying now, you know. I might have to do it the old-fashioned way and learn it myself. But, you know, but the closest personally I have had at that was, I think I've shared the story of when I was at a Eurasia conference and I had a pastor from Iraq pray over me. And he prayed over me in Arabic, and I don't learn that. I mean, I just took my English speaking test for immigration here and barely passed that. So the fact that, seriously, and so there's no point trying to learn anything else. I need to try and work on this Queen's English that I'm butchering up. And so, but anyway, he's praying for me. I don't understand what he's saying, but I tell you something. I have been blessed to experience the Holy Spirit in my life, but oh, I just felt so in tune. It was just an amazing moment that I just felt God in a powerful way. Yes, I didn't understand the words, but you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't have barriers of language. That's the great thing about God. And so here is God just working in a powerful way, and here's God here just kind of showing to these believers and to all around, say, do you know what? I can get through these language barriers. Don't you worry about that. I'll give you the words. I'll speak through you. And so this account of the tongues had purpose. It was purposeful. And these believers with purpose was able to declare. And so what happened after that is pretty awesome. Peter, this guy who denied Christ just a few weeks ago, who messed up many times, stands up in front of thousands of people, including those who probably would have tried to kill him a few weeks ago if he'd said, yes, I know Jesus, I'm with him. Now he's standing in front of them and boldly, clearly, with authority, just preaches, just goes for it. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit. It's transforming. Goes from a man who would in fear deny Christ to go, do you know what? I've got God in me. I'm going to let all the world know how good God is, how real God is right now. That's transformation. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not a party trick. It's not there for us to have a little tickle and go, ooh, wouldn't that be nice? I'll come back to next week on Sunday and get another tickle. No, the Holy Spirit is to empower, is to strength, to give wisdom, to give discernment, to intercede, to give us strength, to give us guidance, to point to Jesus in our lives. That's the Holy Spirit. That's when you see God at work in someone. They are filled with him, filled with the Holy Spirit. Over 3,000 people that day give their lives to Christ. God working through the weaknesses of Peter. Jen preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and that's a chapter I just cling to. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, where Paul says that God chooses to use the foolish things in this world to shame the wise, the weak to shame the strong. I love it. I cling to that. I can't boast in my name. I cling to God. Allow him to work. Because then it gives him glory. And that's the great thing when you look through what God has done through many leaders, many preachers, many amazing people, that they pointed to God. Quite often they have humble backgrounds. No one can say, oh, of course he could do that because his parents did that. Or no wonder he did that. He had a good education or anything like that. It's, wow, there's God working in that vessel, allowing him to work. But we've got to desire it. I think this is where we fall short. Is we get too comfortable in looking at the past. Too comfortable saying, it's all right, I've got the assurance. They're all good. But do we desire transformation? Do we desire in our hearts to have the mind of Christ? Or are we at a place of, yeah, I'm okay where I'm at, thank you. I'll just sail on till the end. Or do we really want to receive this gift? Do we really want to have that peace that is above all understanding? Do we really want to have this strength that we could do all things through Christ? We have to desire that change. Here's the thing. When they, it follows after the 3,000 giving life to Christ, what it says is they devoted themselves to scripture reading. Filled by the Holy Spirit, gave themselves to scripture reading, gave themselves to serving, to sharing the word, to living amongst each other, to being community, gave themselves to prayer. They had a desire to pray. Do we as a church have a desire to pray? In our hearts, do we have a desire to come together to pray? That's the challenge we have to put in ourselves. Jen, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, came away from the prayer evening. We've been doing that for a few months now, on Sunday nights, for people to come together and just pray, plus the ones on Thursdays. But we intentionally have our prayer once a month on Sunday evening. She said it was a blessed time. It was a great time with those who were there. But out of a church of 110, it was her and three others. And it just made me go, do we have a desire to pray? It's something we have to look in ourselves. A lot of people said to me, Pastor, wouldn't it be good for revival? Yes! But do you know where revival started for those believers? In them. That's where revival starts. It starts in us. Do we have that desire? Do we have that desire to say, God will be your vessel? We're willing for it to get messy. We're willing for change. We're willing for transformation. We're willing to do things we've maybe not done before. We're maybe to step out of our comfort zone just all for your glory, all to let you be known, to be a beacon. Say, Holy Spirit, fill us. I want the mind of Christ. I don't want to be having these negative, bad thoughts, or whatever it might be. Father, I just want purity. I just want love. I want compassion. Father, I'm willing to be changed by you, transformed by you, renewed by you, given the strength by you to go to make you famous, to make you known, because it's not my story, it's your story. Do we have that desire? And that's something that I've been, again, wrestling with myself, because as I'm preaching it, as I've been going through it, I say, Johnny, it's not just a message out there, it's a message in here too. And this is something we got to have, it's a desire. We got to be willing to wait upon the Lord. That's what they were doing. They were waiting. They were in that room, waiting. Pentecost is a great reminder. It's the church's birthday. You know, we've got a reminder at Christmas that God so loved the world, he sent his only son. We have a hope in him. Easter's that great celebration, a reminder that we have life in him because of what he'd done for us. Pentecost is a reminder to know, God, you're in me. I need you. It's a reminder, that kickstart, to say, do you know what? Yeah, I've been too long trying to do it on my own, to deal with the pain, to deal with whatever you may be going through alone, to go, do you know what? Father God, I need you. Sorry that I've neglected you and kept you on the outside, but Father, I need you in me. What a reminder that is. And it shouldn't take once a year, but you know what? If it is, let that be this day, to kickstart for the rest of our lives, to go, God, I need you each and every day in me. We're going to, as the band want to come up, have just a moment of waiting. I was going to share a couple other things, but I feel sometimes we just talk too much. What I'm going to do is then go, need to finish. Actually, I'm going to stop there and just have some stillness. The altars are open. If you want to come down, go for it. To come before the Lord. Or if you want to do it in your seat and it's your heart, if that's where you want to be, do it. But it's just the music plays softly. Let's just allow a time of steadying our hearts. We got so many to be praying for in our hearts. Like I say, we got Vi, we got Mr. Smith who's not doing too well. Pray for God just to flood them and their families for strength. But let's be praying for a desire, a hunger, just to be filled by God. You know, as a church, we don't create ministry. We don't create programs. We're not the creators. God's the creators. Let us pray for wisdom. And the heart and the desire to follow. But then you as individuals, maybe time is now to be bold. To say, Father, I want you in me. I want to experience you each and every day. I need you, Lord. Can't do it without you. Give us that strength, Father God. Holy God, we thank you. Jesus, we praise you. Father, come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts and minds and our souls and all that we are. We are yours. Lord, we pray for revival. We do. We pray for our children. We pray for our families. We pray for our co-workers and our neighbors and this community. Lord, that'd be amazing. But Father God, allow that fire to start within so that we could be that beacon that all know that, wow, this God is real, is alive. I see a transformation. I see it. Give us the words to boldly proclaim you, Father God, like you did with Peter. Father, allow us to be a church that's being radical, not set by programs or structure, but be willing just to be set by you. Willing just to allow you to move, Father God, to be your children. Lord, for those who are feeling weary, I pray you give them rest. For those who need strength, Father, I pray for strength. For those who need wisdom in whatever situation they may be in life, Father, I pray for that just divine wisdom that is clearly of you. All for your glory. Healing from you, Father God. But Jesus, a desire, oh, a hunger to be in your word, to be willing to be compassionate, to serve, to reach out, to root ourselves to you. Father God, let that start with us. Let the church arise, Father God. We praise you, Holy God. Amen. Let's allow this place to just be a place of waiting. Sometimes we just switch it off, but allow just time just to reflect. Just be filled. In Ephesians, we read this benediction. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him each day. Allow him to fill you each moment. And have a blessed week.